Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Priyanka Jain is president and CEO of A-Ring, a management consulting company focused on analytics for business impact. Before founding A-Ring, Priyanka held leadership roles in analytics at organizations like PayPal and Adobe. She's the author of a great new book entitled Behind Every Good Decision, How Anyone Can Use Business Analytics to Turn Data into Profitable Insight. And that's published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Priyanka, thanks for joining us on Edgewise today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's just jump into the topic here. What's the secret behind making good decisions?
That's a great question, Dave. The secret behind making good decisions is a systematic approach based on facts and hypotheses. Let's say you were buying a car. Buying a car is a very individual experience. And so if I were buying a car, my output, what I think is a good car for me, would be different than what's a good car for you. And that would be a good decision if it turns out favorably for me at the end. Once I have my car, I'm happy with it. This is something which happened a few years ago. I was talking to a friend who had just bought a new car, and he was pretty upset, it seemed like, with his new car. It was a fast new sports car, but he was not happy about it. And I said, well, what happened? I mean, you were so excited about buying a new car. You got to this fast new sports car. Why aren't you happy? And he's like, it's a gas guzzler, and my commute is so long, and I'm paying so much money for my commute on a monthly basis. It's a bummer, so on and so forth. And I started thinking in the back of my mind, well, wasn't that one of your constraints to begin with? Wasn't there one of the things that you were analyzing to find the best car? I would think if that commute is important or if budget was important, wouldn't you be thinking about mileage and so on? And so that's how good decisions are. You come to a good decision by following a systematic method. In the world of business, basically good decisions means driving revenue up, you know, lowering costs, lowering losses. It's very important to make good decisions. In our book, we lay out this systematic method of making good decisions, and it's laid out in chapter 4. It's called BADIR. It's an acronym for these 5 steps, B-A-D-I-R, essentially. And it's fairly logical. You start with understanding the business question or the issues. And in the case of buying a car, your goal, business question or business goal, is I want to buy a car. And then you lay out a plan. You know, what all considerations does it need to meet? And in terms of business, often you're looking back at your business saying, something went wrong. What do I need to do differently or what happened? And so that's where your hypotheses, the reasons, things you believe to be true, that will help you solve the problem, comes in the picture. And then you collect only relevant data, that's the step 3. You derive insights using the right methodology, and you make recommendations. So that's one such systematic method of making decisions, which guarantees you a consistent way of making decisions that pans out in long term.
Now, in the book, you say that many organizations jump into the analytics and big data swimming pool. They're all gung-ho. Apparently, they've spoken to the right salespeople. And they jump into the whole thing, and then they fail miserably. Why is that?
You know, it's interesting. Analytics and big data, although there's such a boo-hoo about it, and everybody talks about it, it's still in its very nascent stage, and it's often not understood well. So for some people, when they're saying analytics, they may mean metrics and dashboards. Some other people, they may mean Hadoop clusters. So everybody's definition of analytics is different, it seems, or they're using analytics as a cloud word or umbrella word to wrap up a lot of these different things. In its true sense, analytics is when data and insights are used to drive business results. So it's not about algorithms, it's not about data, and it's just also not about insights. It's about when insights can be used to drive results. That is what is analytics. And often when organizations go into the analytics aspect, they're not thinking of the results. In the end, they want results somehow to happen, but they start thinking, they start getting lost in the technology, they start getting lost in these other things. So in my experience, you know, having consulted for Fortune 100 and smaller startups with A-Ring, there are 4 major reasons I found analytics is failing in the organization. Number one reason was data immaturity. If data is not clean, if it's not accessible to the right folks in the organization, if it cannot be visualized, if it's not fast, all of these things make data access pretty bad, and people don't use data then. to make decisions. So that's number one. The other big reason is lack of leadership. And what I mean by that is often the leaders say, executives say, we are data-driven organization and we are data-driven. But often we find that what data-driven means to one executive often is I use data to corroborate whatever I want the organization to go. And that's not truly data-driven. Data-driven is when you are curious and you want to find out more about your customers and your products using data. You know, using data to tell a story or using data to understand what's really going on. And then holding the executives and the leadership and the team responsible for the decisions they make based on the data and then having a process to look back. So that's often the reason that there's leadership, but the leadership doesn't fully believe in making decisions based on data. The number three reason is lack of talent. There is a severe shortage of data scientists, but there's also a severe shortage of business professionals who can use data to make decisions. These days, most product managers, marketers, ops folks have access to data, so some BI tools or even in Excel. They look at it, they can play with it, but they don't really know what to do with that. So the data to decision skills is missing en masse in the organization. And number four reason is not having a decision-making process. Some ways of systematic decision-making, which is, you know, like you're planning for the next quarter or next half, and then putting those decisions into action, course-correcting it, obviously evaluating it as it goes, and then looking back, was it a good decision? Was it not? What did we learn? So that decision-making process and a transparent decision-making process is to be part of the organization. I found that these four reasons is why analytics fails in these organizations.
How can a business leader assess whether their company, their organization is ready to be data-driven?
It ties back to the earlier point about, you know, why analytics fail. What we have done is we have encapsulated these four aspects that I just talked about, data maturity, leadership, talent, and decision-making process into a framework called analytics maturity quotient. So that's a way for an organization to assess their own analytics maturity. It can be a deep dive process, but there is also a do-it-yourself. It's all laid out in, I think, the leadership section of the book. But if folks are also interested after that, they can also download a white paper on our website on aring.com on analytics maturity quotient, which essentially asks these relevant questions. It has a survey, which the leader can float in their entire organization and have people answer these questions and get the feedback back and evaluate it. And it'll give them a good idea of where their analytics maturity stands. And again, it's do-it-yourself DIY process. It's at a very high level. But it kind of starts giving you an idea, you know, where the biggest gap is. Is your biggest gap in the data side, in the maturity of the data, or is it more on the leadership side that leaders don't really believe in making decisions? So it starts giving you an idea of where the big failure and where the big gap is. Address that as you go along the maturity. And it is truly a journey. It's not binary that the leader can look at the organization and saying, oh, yes, we are ready. We are ready to different degrees. You know, as we prep the organization to with different aspects. I mean, I saw it live while I was at PayPal. I was heading up business analytics for North America. And when I joined, at that point, marketing within North America was very look and feel and very research-driven and gut-driven. And then the head of North America brought on a marketing leader who came from Intuit, who was very, very data-driven. And the entire culture changed. I mean, when I started with North America, basically, there were no analytics reports coming from North America. Nobody from the marketing team really cared about even measuring the ROI of the campaign. They were pretty happy with saying, you know, the campaign looked good and we had some good open rates and blah, blah. But nobody was really asking the question, what was the ROI of the impact? Did you even make up the money you spent on this campaign? And then the leader comes and then they started talking about metrics and they instilled a dashboard and they started talking about what's the ROI of the campaign. He even instilled this process by which he wouldn't give anything, any project, any budget, like basically zero-based budgeting, unless they could prove that they had a potential ROI. So it was a phenomenal. I mean, for me, it was live. Like, I could see the transformation within the marketing organization from being like, I don't care about data, to like, oh my God, I can't even get my budget, even if I want to spend $100K, until I can prove and I can show that, you know, I want to spend my $100K on this segment doing this, because I believe blah, 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 you know, because that shows that. So I think it makes a difference.
Well, obviously, hopefully, people learn from their mistakes and people learn from stories of other people's mistakes. If you don't mind sharing with us, what are some of the most common misconceptions or things that people do wrong or places where they go wrong when attempting or doing analytics?
You know, I think, and I speak at a lot of conferences, so I get to hear firsthand what they're expecting from the data. So one of the most common misconceptions is people start from data. They think good decisions come out of data, and they start from data. So by that, what I mean is they have stacks full of data. I mean, a lot of these, as I said, product managers, marketing managers, they have so full of spreadsheets of data, and they look at it, metrics and, you know, 100 metrics dashboard, and they're looking at it, and they're like, okay, we're, our retention is going up, and so on. And they stare at it, and they think the insights will pop out. How do I make insights pop out? The question often to me is, I have lots of data. How do I make insights pop out of that? How do I visualize data that insights start popping out? So one thing most of the people don't realize is data does not speak. It only responds. And it responds to your question. And that's why we start the framework with business questions. So they often forget that it's not about what data you have in front of us. It's a few steps before. It is, what question are you trying to solve with data? What is it that you're focusing on? So that's one thing I hear all the time. And I tell people, data doesn't speak, it only responds. So are you asking intelligent questions to your data? The other thing I feel when I talk to people is that people believe too much in the tool. They love tools. And they think that if you feed good amount of data into the tool and then you churn it, good insights will come out. And nothing can be farther from truth. Insights come from a systematic process, which starts from a question. So it's a user or the doer who has the context and applies this systematic process in the context that gets to the insights. It's not the tool. You can use any tool of your choice. In fact, the tool we most recommend for business analytics is Excel, Microsoft Excel, which everybody has. So it's not about the tool. It's about having the right data. And then any simple business analytics tool is suffice most of the time. So most people do get carried away with the visualization of the tool and then just, you know, cool tool. We just acquired Tableau. Now I should get all the insights. Not true.
I'm curious. This is going to sound like a strange question, but are you a fan of Douglas Adams, the science fiction author? He wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You know, he has some very interesting concepts.
Well, this is just a poor comic analogy, but I'm reminded of when you were talking about this stuff, it's sort of beginning with a question and the right thinking about it.
Yeah.
There's a whole subplot built around this incredibly ginormous, super huge, powerful computer called Deep Thought.
Uh-huh.
And it takes humankind thousands of years to build Deep Thought, and then they finally get it up and running and they ask it the question, you know, what's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? And Deep Thought has to go off and think about this, and for thousands of years it's thinking about this question. And then it's time for Deep Thought to give the answer thousands of years later. And they're like, okay, what's the secret? You know, what's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? And Deep Thought says 42.
Yes.
And everyone's stunned, like, what kind of answer is that? And Deep Thought says, well, it really wasn't much of a question, was it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, you know. And I often find myself, when I was back inside the organization and I had that luxury, I mean, people would ask me this question. So you know, what's driving the customer churn? And, you know, yeah, 42.
Exactly.
You know,
I know.
You followed that system, my brother. Right. What is driving the customer churn? And that's actually a really good question. Just look at it and what are your hypotheses? Well, my question back to them as I start this process, if this is a legitimate question, is what do you think drives customer churn? So that's
right.
Where hypothesis comes from. And believe it or not, the best hypothesis comes from the people who are themselves asking the questions, because they are within the context of the business. They are the people who have launched the product. They're the people who are looking at the report, the bug reports which came in and told them, you know, the customers are not able to do this and that, whatever else it
sure.
is. They're the people who rushed the delivery of the product and thereby they knew what was missed. They know a lot of those things. It's often not very clear between the relationship between the things they know and output, you know, churn,
sure,
revenue,
sure.
losses. That's the relationship analytics helps them find. But they know they are the best source of hypotheses, the reasons that could be. That could be the source of the solution.
We've been speaking to Piyanka Jain. She's the author of Behind Every Good Decision, How Anyone Can Use Business Analytics to Turn Data into Profitable Insight. Piyanka, this has been a fun conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.